FHA home buyers, what's the typical demographic when you think of that utilizing FHA, going, buying their first home? Kind of give me that rundown. What's the typical demographic you see of that first-time home buyer?
We see a lot of people that fit in the mold of FHA financing. Definitely first-time home buyers for sure. But even people who aren't buying their first home, the program is really designed for first-time home buyers. And when you're looking at it from an angle of they're more flexible with debt-to-income ratios, they don't require perfect credit scores, a little bit more lenient when it comes to some overtime income and stuff like that comparative to other programs. So a lot of those hurdles that first-time home buyers typically have in those categories, FHA is a really good solution when it comes to choosing a loan program for buying your first home. I mean, you have a lot of first-time home buyer clients too.
For sure. No, I'm working on actually a second. They're working on a second purchase, and you know, they had some hiccups, which, you know, okay, you have to use FHA again. Cool. I mean, it's just they have tons of income, but the credit's not where it needs to be.
Yeah.
Ratio is a little bit higher, so a little more forgiving with the ratios. That's the number one reason I love it the most is the ratios you're allowed with FHA versus conventional.
That's totally what I mean. I mean, yes, it's designed for first-time home buyers, but it's definitely not the only type of candidate that ends up getting an FHA loan. They're repeat buyers, and here they are doing FHA.
Absolutely. I mean, we definitely like to see, you know, use it first time and, you know, move on from there. But, you know, there's no shame in using it again because you're still purchasing a home. You're still making that investment. You're not renting. So you're still building equity in something using that tool, which is, you know, FHA. So over the year, what do you think your mix is going FHA versus conventional? Like, do you think it's a large portion of your business?
I would say it feels kind of half and half. Mm-hmm. I have a pretty good amount of clients that are move up buyers that are maybe selling a home and putting a sizable down payment. So that's kind of keeping them in that conventional territory when it comes to the financing product that they're going with. But we also have clients that are reusing their FHA, and I work with quite a bit of first time home buyers as well. But I would say the mix is probably about half and half. And the more loans that I've done and the longer I've been in my career, the more I find that I'm getting those repeat buyers and those move up buyers selling homes and doing different things. So I would say early on in my career, FHA was the largest part of my business, and not even just FHA, but first time home buyers in general, and credit challenged and that type of thing. But a lot of the clients that I've worked with up front maybe had some of those hurdles and stuff, but you know, 6, 7, 8 years later, here we are and we're like, hey, now we got a lot of equity. Our credit's in a great place. So that conventional mix has really rose the longer I've been in the business, just kind of having clients that are
so in FHA being largest mix early on. So you're saying you hate American, you hate veterans. So you're not serving our veteran community.
Hey, look, I know I can't compete with you. You serve the VA,
which is my market. largest, you know, sector this year, you know, VA compared to conventional and FHA. FHA is actually my least, I won't say least, but you know, I love all programs, but it's my lowest, you know, what I have as far as production for the year, what I have.
Yeah.
Reduce, but you know, I still love using it. It's still a great product.
It's definitely a great product. And to defend myself a little bit, I do close VA loans as well.
Well, stop. However, back off.
Now that, you know, you've been such a great part of the team and you have that passion in VA financing and you've really dug in and become an industry expert, that's been awesome. And I fully support that. And, you know, the veterans I have, you can still come to me for your VA loan, but I definitely love like to support and encourage our industry partners to work with you when it comes to VA loans for sure.
No doubt.
Yeah.
What are some things you dislike about going FHA compared to other programs?
Sometimes one of the downfalls to FHA
challenges. I'll say you don't like, but I guess some challenges.
Challenges. But, yeah. Every program comes with challenges from some angle. Mm-hmm. The nice thing about FHA, all the positives that we've talked about are about the candidate specifically. One of the drawbacks to FHA is the property type and condition sometimes can be a tough hurdle.
For sure.
So one of the fabulous things about FHA is buying, say, a duplex with minimum amount down. Mm-hmm. So you get a multi-unit property, live in one unit, rent out the other unit. But the downfall to that piece is sometimes to find an affordable duplex that's going to work with FHA's loan limits might need some improvement on the property to meet FHA's requirements, where you know, conventional is going to be more flexible there. But a lot of candidates kind of need FHA financing for multiple reasons. So it does suck when you have a property that is really run down that does not meet the parameters for FHA financing.
Yeah, no, I had a perfect FHA multifamily property buyer a couple months ago, and he kept putting these offers in, and he kept losing out to cash buyers, and which is unfortunate. But I kept looking at these investment properties and then just buys a single family residence going conventional. Yep. So, I mean,
it would have been
an excellent tool to get in that multifamily property. It's such a low down payment. Mm-hmm. But you know, it is what it is.
Definitely. That's the thing when, especially when you're purchasing your first home, you know, we think we're going to go one direction. We have it set up with an FHA loan or whatever it might be. And then when you go out and look at homes, that direction can very quickly change once we see what's on the market, what's available for what you're approved for, mm-hmm. all that type of thing. So
typically what do you see appraisers hit on when you're going FHA, when they're getting appraised, as far as some of the stuff that hinders the property from passing inspection?
There's a couple of things. One of the most common is chipping and peeling paint on the exterior part of the property. That brushes or a tree hanging, like leaning against the home.
Anything unsafe like that?
Anything unsafe. Although I don't feel that we run into safety issues as much as we do as those types of issues. Mm-hmm. Like chipping and peeling paint, I wouldn't technically classify that as a safety issue, but it's just a requirement for FHA financing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes like steps up to the home needing to have handrails, that's considered a safety issue. Sure. That part does come up a good amount of time. And then when you're dealing with manufactured homes, which we all know, I love my manufactured financing. So a lot of times with manufactured, FHA is going to want to see that the home has tie downs underneath the home. Mm-hmm. That is missed all the time. You know, we will order that engineer cert and get it back, and there's no tie downs on the home.
Of course, is that pretty common?
Very common. Very common enough that we have our guy on speed dial.
Hey, oh, man. The tie down guy?
The tie down guy. Can you run to the property, get us an invoice, let us know what it's going to cost to get tie downs, and then figuring out from there who's covering what. But and that's the nice thing about having that repetition with manufactured financing and knowing the guides is, even though, sure, at initial inspection, it didn't have what we need, we have all the resources to get it to where it needs to be financeable. But that's pretty common. And a lot of people don't crawl underneath their home and be like, you know, I wonder if there's tie downs under here.
I can't tell you what's in my crawl space. I refuse to get down there. I'm in a new construction home and I won't get down there.
Yep. And that's the case for a lot of people. They don't know. And they wouldn't think to ask that.
You know? Sure. Why would you? I mean, it's not something you come across every day.
No, it's something that I get a report on and then I call and say, hey, this is the situation. We need to get someone out there to get tie downs installed. Do you want me to get a quote for that? Yeah. Can you please? I'm not sure where to start. So that's kind of typically where the conversation goes. And then we dig in.
Are there any kind of other drawbacks going FHA when you want to purchase a manufactured home?
Mostly the tie down situation. Mm-hmm. Most other parameters that would apply for a manufactured home are somewhat comparable. Yeah. Besides the fact that the property condition thing, as far as having peeling paint and stuff like that. But outside of that, I wouldn't say so. You know.
So is inspection pretty? I mean, appraisal process pretty similar between USDA, FHA, and VA.
The appraisal process for a manufactured home.
Any residence at all.
Yeah, the appraisal process itself is pretty similar across the board. You know, we get the purchase contract. If someone's buying this home, we place an appraisal order for that loan type. The appraiser that it's assigned to is to have the right credentials to appraise for that type. So if someone doesn't have their FHA requirements, they can't, if an appraiser doesn't have those FHA requirements, he cannot then go appraise a property for an FHA loan. He has to have the right certificates, so he knows what to look for on the property to determine if it meets FHA standards for financing. But the process itself on our side is the same in terms of placing the order, identifying the product that you're ordering it for. So we don't just say, we need an appraisal. We say, hey, we need an appraisal, blah, blah, blah. We're doing an FHA loan. Sure. You know, it's a purchase or a refinance. It's a stick-built home. It's a manufactured home. It's a duplex or whatever it is. We identify all those things when we place the appraisal order, and then it's up to the appraiser and the appraisal management company to make sure that that appraiser is qualified to complete that order.
So people worry about the turn times on those, and as far as closing, like on time, should people be concerned if they want to go FHA versus conventional and they want to close within a certain amount of time, or is it pretty much the same as going conventional with a government program?
Sometimes there is a little bit more time that's needed.
Why is that?
For that additional research to determine if the property meets those standards. Or let's say the appraiser, well, it could be a couple of things. The appraiser could go to the property and be, you know, I need to refresh my memory on the guidelines for this. I'm going to take pictures of what's going on here, but I don't remember if I need handrails on that staircase, for example. They're going to go back and verify that information. Sometimes additional research time is needed for something like that. Or if they're struggling to find comps for the home that they're appraising, they'll need additional research time. The other thing is property location is important as well. So if you're looking at a property that the appraiser is an hour away, the closest appraiser is an hour away from the property, they're going to need more time to complete the assignment. Mm-hmm. And additional research time, because typically if that's how close an appraiser is, they're probably going to have limited comps for the area that they're going as well. The other thing I would kind of throw into there, you know, yes, there's some of these details to get through and all that type of thing. But mm-hmm. when you're working with real estate agents and they know where the property is up front, if there's a distance to it or limited sales or comps and stuff, they can kind of set that closing accordingly, giving an extra week or two when they're writing the offer so that there isn't any surprises that it might be taking a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Because we don't, just because it might take a little longer doesn't mean anything is wrong with the transaction. Sometimes if we or agents overcommit on timeline up front, the client could be interpreting the delays as if something's wrong.
Sure.
And it's really not necessarily technically a delay. It's just that we need more time to get the information we need to get the transaction closed.
Definitely just need to manage customers' expectations, realtors' expectations, and just make sure everybody's on the same page. So
yeah. So we have a reasonable timeline to get everything done. Yeah.
So going FHA, you know, it's, we already identified that, you know, a little easier on credits, a little easier on debt to income ratios, and a little more forgiving in that capacity. Can you tell me about some down payment assistance programs or some options with somebody that doesn't have that down payment? What are there some options they have?
Yes, there are options. So there is down payment assistance options, you know, whether you're going conventional or FHA. Mm-hmm. So that part is available is the quick answer to that. Kind of piggying back on what we've already discussed with FHA in terms of them being a little bit more flexible with debt to income ratios and all that good stuff to help people qualify for a loan. It's somewhat similar when you're adding on that down payment assistance piece in that it's typically easier to get approved for an FHA loan with down payment assistance than it is a conventional loan with down payment assistance. Mm. So part of the credit review on a file, the risk review, is all those things add risk layers to a loan. So when you don't have perfect credit, you know, there's kind of a risk layer there. You're pushing your debt to income ratios. There's a risk layer there. You're using down payment. You keep throwing those on there, and it lowers your probability of getting approved for a conventional loan. So it's not that it's not available. It's that it's harder to qualify for. So that's why typically when you see down payment assistance loans or offers or approvals, most of the time they're FHA. And that's kind of why. FHA is just much more friendly with those risk layers than conventional is, but it is available for both programs.
That's phenomenal. So if I am going with utilizing down payment assistance program, whatever program I want to utilize, we have a few different options. Am I limited as far as the seller concessions I can receive on that deal, or is there?
So the allowable seller concessions is going to follow the parameters of the program you're going for. Mm-hmm. So if FHA allows 6% of the purchase price to be contributed towards the buyer's closing costs, and let's say you're going to do down payment assistance, you can still negotiate that amount up to that amount based on the program, the standard program, you know. And if you're doing a conventional loan with down payment assistance, the concessions are limited to conventional's requirement for seller concessions on their program. So that's nice when you're utilizing down payment assistance, is it's really its own thing. So a lot of times people think, I want to do the down payment assistance program. When I think about down payment assistance, I think, okay, we're going to do an FHA loan with down payment assistance, because you still have to identify your primary product, whether that's going to be FHA or conventional. And I know from a home buyer stance, that part's not necessarily the most relevant part to them, but to me, it's super relevant so that I can recall which guides we're going with and our limitations and all that type of thing. So it's its own thing. So FHA with down payment assistance, that tells me that, okay, here's our limit for allowable seller credits if they're offering on a property. Yep.
So if I have a current FHA loan and wife popped out a couple kids, we're running low on space, we need another loan or need another home, but you know, life happens, credit's not the best, and you know, got a lot of debt and they need to utilize an FHA loan again. Am I able to purchase another FHA loan in the area?
You are. It just gets a little detailed when you're dealing with that. So in your scenario, you have a house right now and you have an FHA loan on it, and you're still the right candidate, say, for another FHA loan. So if you were to sell the home you have right now and purchase another home with an FHA loan, that scenario would be doable when it comes to FHA, looking at that.
I can't keep the other home as a rental?
There's a long list of requirements you have to meet to be able to keep
it. Yes or no? You just tell me right now. Can I keep it as a rental?
There is a distance requirement. So let's say you were going to, you don't want to sell it. If you want to sell it, that solves all those issues. Sure. You can use FHA again. Good to go. If you want to keep it, there's different things to consider. If we don't need rental income to qualify you for the other loan, meaning you have a super solid income and you can qualify for all the mortgages without any rental income considered, there are parameters you have to meet, such as increase in family size, needing a larger home, relocation for a job, stuff like that. Then you can actually actively have those two FHA loans in place at one time. Actually, you kind of have to meet that requirement to have two active loans in place at one time. But let's say you don't have enough income to meet the parameters for both loans. You need rental income to qualify. There's a distance requirement. So you can't keep this FHA loan and move two doors down and use rental income on it. They require that it be a certain amount of distance from the location of the other home in order to add rental income on. Most of the clients I have in that scenario, we are not at that distance requirement. Mm-hmm. If you're purchasing in or your home's in Pasco, you're going to buy another house in Kennewick, that distance requirement is not sufficient to be able to use rental income on the other one. It's an odd rule because the other programs don't have that rule in place. So it is something that not everybody would know. In that scenario, we would try and see what we can do to get them to qualify for a conventional loan on their next purchase, because conventional will allow us to use rental income on that other home, even if it's two doors down.
Right.
So they're a little picky with that and picky about having two FHA loans in place at one time.
Do you run into that situation a lot?
Not all the time. We do with some of our repeat buyers that are ready to buy again and still wanting an FHA loan on that second time around. Although most of my clients are selling that home and then wanting to buy the other home. But some people, typically, if you've owned your home for quite a while, you have quite a bit of equity built up. Let's say that you don't qualify for an FHA loan out of the gates, but you do want to rent out that house and you're pretty committed to that.
Right.
We can look at other options and really figure out what is keeping the credit scores down. You know, do we need 20 grand to pay off certain debts to get their credit in line? We could maybe look at doing something on the home they have right now, such as a second mortgage or a HELOC, to get those credit items cleaned up so that their scores will shoot up. Now, that is not a quick solution. You know, maybe 60, 90 days that might take, but 3 months is not that long.
Sure, in the grand scheme of things.
In the grand scheme of things, it's not that long. It may not allow you to write an offer today, but it is a good idea that if that's something you're thinking about doing, to inquire with your loan officer so that you can put a plan in place to be able to kind of set up for a conventional purchase specifically if you have an FHA loan on your home right now and you know you want to rent it out.
So going VA, you have that funding fee and it increases every time you use it. Is it similar with FHA as far as fees go? Does it get more expensive every time you use it?
That is a good question. The nice thing about FHA is their fees are their fees. It doesn't matter if it's the first time you use the program, the second, third, fourth, fifth. If you get an FHA loan under these parameters, these are the fees. They don't change based on how many times you've used it. So that is actually a very nice feature about FHA.
It's another scenario. What about going the other way? I have a conventional loan right now, and hey, some stuff happened. I need to go FHA on another home for whatever reason. Can I keep my conventional home and go FHA, and FHA be cool with that? Me keeping my other home?
The quick answer is there is more than likely a way to do that.
Yeah.
FHA does kind of want to see that you've had history of being a landlord. But depending on the overall situation, sometimes there's ways that we can get that to work. But that could be a long answer.
Just a little challenging.
Yes, a little challenging probably means for a whole nother video. And I don't want to spend all your time on that topic.
Interesting. I talk about this all day. Love it.
But having that conventional loan on the home that you have right now does open up more doors, even you purchasing with an FHA loan. Because now we don't have the whole, I have two FHA loans at the same time.
So still paying an ask, but it's a little easier going that
direction than the FHAs. Other direction.
Gotcha. Amazing.
Yeah.
So have you seen an increase over the year with people going FHA with the market being challenging as it is? Because there's a little more favorable rates going FHA versus going conventional, isn't there?
Yeah, that's one piece to it. And it's been harder to qualify for mortgages, you know, just in general with rates and prices haven't plummeted and rates have been going up the last couple of years. So we are struggling to get people approved in a price point that's getting them the home that they want. So we are seeing kind of the uptick in utilizing FHA so we can push those debt to income limits to get them approved for a price point that there's going to have options when they go and search for a home.
Excellent info. You know, I love helping first time home buyers, you know, love utilizing the FHA program, although it's my least utilized program in my portfolio, but it's still there. Love to utilize it. You use it heavily. any last takeaways for that person looking to use their FHA? What should they be doing if they're looking to utilize it in the next 30 to 60 days?
Yeah, I would just say kind of talk to a loan officer upfront before you get your heart set on a property. FHA is a really good program, and there's lots of ways to kind of not change things, but alter things to really make it fit for what you're trying to accomplish. But it's always helpful when we can kind of get a glimpse of what your situation is before you're in that position that you're ready to write an offer. So I'll just kind of say that. That way we can give you just a few little tips and tricks to really capitalize on your pre-approval once we're at a position to set that up for you.
Perfect. Love it. All right, Sam, appreciate you sitting down and going over this with us for the next video. And thanks.
Sounds good.